We turn to the book of Genesis again, chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, commencing to read at verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech, you remember Abimelech was the king of Gerar. We had quite a lot to do with him in chapter 20. We saw that although he was a king of a heathen nation, yet he was a man of integrity and of high principle. He comes before us again this evening. It came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. May God add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. Last Lord's Day evening, our sermon was based upon verses 14 to 20 of our chapter. It was evangelistic in content, as we saw 2 souls perishing in a wilderness, yet water, that which was vital to their life, was within reach. But they never saw it until God opened their eyes. This we saw to be so typical. Sinners all around us are perishing in sin. This will remain their condition till God opens their eyes to see that in Christ there is salvation. And in this way did we treat that incident last time, to illustrate the glorious truth of salvation through the grace and intervention of God, according to the truth of Ephesians 2 and verse 1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Tonight we return to this chapter to complete its content. Verse 21, which I did not read, but verse 21 brings us to the conclusion of the episode concerning Ishmael. It reads, And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. We might just look at this verse for a few moments. his Egyptian mother procures a wife for her son. In this, we are to see that which I brought to you last week, John Calvin's statement. There we saw that Abraham, in casting out the bondwoman and her son, did relinquish paternal rights. Casting out the bondwoman and her son, in this very act, Abraham relinquished paternal rights. Now this verse here, verse 21, substantiates that reasoning. For here, in accordance with the civil order of that area and period, the father would take the initiative in securing a bride for his son. But here in this, Abraham does not figure. Hagar is solely responsible. The mother takes the initiative. And so she, as might well have been imagined, goes down into Egypt to secure a bride for her son Ishmael. And having secured the bride, they settle down, Ishmael and his wife, in the wilderness of Paran, right down in the Sinai Peninsula. He was well over 100 miles south of where Abraham and his household now were, in Beersheba. And in a desert area, 100 miles is quite a stretch. And by this, a very real separation had been effected between the two seeds. And in the wilderness of Paran, Ishmael and his wife commenced their life together, he developing his skill in archery and hunting. Now his name will crop up on occasions as we continue to plow through the book of Genesis, but his life after this casting out, we know but little of. So we come now to the closing section of this chapter, chapter 21, and that which will be the main theme of our consideration this evening. Commencing at verse 22 of this chapter, we examine this closing section. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Now to fully understand these two verses, I must remind you of verse 15 of the previous chapter, which we looked at some good many weeks ago now. But in chapter 20, in verse 15, we read, And Abimelech said, this was unto Abraham, Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. Abimelech had already made a promise unto Abraham, and a most generous one it was. But now in chapter 21 and these two verses which are before us, he comes to the patriarch with Phicol, his chief captain, to legalize and to make the transaction official and binding. At first, it was but word of mouth. Now, we have before seen that the king of Gerar was a man of integrity. He was a monarch who had the interest of his people at heart. He liked everything above board. In his dealings, he would have nothing underhand or shady. Tie in the loose ends, make the deal watertight, was his maxim. And upon the very surface of these verses, it must be apparent to us that the lesson here in the concluding part of Genesis chapter 1 is a lesson of a business nature. Now, some would brush this aside as being mundane, a very earthly matter, having little, if any, spiritual content, and they'd move right into chapter 22 with all the stirring incidents pertaining to Abraham offering up his son. Friends, this is wrong. This is wrong. The verses before us now are as much inspired of the Holy Spirit of God as are the verses of Genesis 22. Or Isaiah 53. And let me state upon divine authority that business matters are as important as church matters. It is a fallacy to make the distinction between the spiritual and the secular. The Bible views a man's life as a whole, entire. There is no Sunday and weekday business in Scripture. It is our conduct and our behavior 7 days per week. For the Christian, all is spiritual. All is spiritual. Therefore, the verses before us are pertinent, and I make no apology for expounding such truth. In a few weeks, over the next weeks, many weeks, in the will of God, we shall be going through Genesis chapter 22 with all the glorious truth contained therein. But that is no more important than this. So we look into it. Abraham was never a poor man, never. We read of his substance away back in chapter 12, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Back in chapter 12 and verse 5, then in chapter 13 and verse 2, the Holy Spirit states that Abraham was very rich. Very rich. And all along his pilgrimage, God continued to prosper him. And now he has moved all his flocks and herds and his many servants down into the grazing areas adjoining Philistia. We saw this some weeks ago. And the king of Gerar had given him rights there. But it must be made legal. There must be no comeback. No disputes over the deal in later years. Abimelech knew that this man, Abraham, was a rich man. He knew that God had greatly prospered him. In the generations to come, he could be a menace. He'd allowed him to settle in the very surrounding areas of his country, on the borders of his people. The day might come when he could disrupt, or he might even take over the whole of that territory. And so he, prudent man, man of integrity that he was, he takes steps to legally protect his rights. And the Spirit of God records the business negotiations which take place between these two parties, and how thoroughly they make their searches and investigations. And friends, this is for our instruction. All the things which are written aforetime are written for our learning. Now, the Bible speaks of diligence in business, not slackness. God requires that we be prudent, not careless, nor yet carefree. In every department of life, a Christian should be painstaking in every department. Painstaking. And so here in this narrative, Abimelech makes official representation to Abraham in verse 23. He'd already by word of mouth granted this, but now he wants the whole thing settled and legalized. So he approaches him, and in verse 23 he says, "Swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor my son, nor with my son's son." In other words, your rights are as stated, but there is to be no infringement. No violation of the terms. And I am binding you to this for future generations. Abimelech is simply safeguarding his rights and the rights of posterity. Beloved, this is right. This is God-honoring. What saith the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8? 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. How can you separate, as some do, and make a distinction between secular and spiritual? It's the whole of a man's life. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. It's no good preaching his head off on Sundays. He's broken down in his own home amongst his own family. He's denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. It's the words of the Spirit of God. Oh, it's a tragedy that there has been such a distinction made in these things. Yes, I repeat, these matters are important. Lazy, indolent men who care little about their work and domestic responsibilities. They're worse than infidels, says the Spirit of God. But alas, how many of such have bedeviled the church and ruined the testimony. Men of the world say, oh yes, he can preach, but look at it. Verse 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Now, they did not employ solicitors in those days, neither did they have conveyancing clerks. Nevertheless, they carried out their searches all right. Abraham said, yes, I will swear. I'm quite prepared to finalize and to legalize this deal. But there's a dispute here over water rights. And this will have to be ironed out first. If this can be satisfactorily settled, I will swear. Or to put it in our language, I will sign up. True business negotiations. Threshing out the problems on both sides. Perfectly right, beloved. We are not to bungle our business. God has given us gray matter, and it's in our head to be used, to be developed for our good and for the good of others. Yes, and to the glory of God. Slapdash, haphazard business is dishonoring to God. I say, God has given us mental ability. We should get down to the things which are before us. Oh, but I can't understand these documents. We've got gray matter. We've got to. And a man's mind and mental capacity is developed by use. That's why a child goes to school. His mind might be expanded. That he might learn. That his mental capacity is ever on the increase. The whole of life is a school. We never leave. We never cease in the path of instruction. Never. And the development of these faculties are to the glory of God. Make no mistake about this, my brethren and sisters. Laziness or carelessness in business transactions, which not only involve ourselves in trouble, but more often than not, they involve others. And this does not glorify God. Oh, business deals can go wrong. They can go wrong. But reasonable men, it's been my experience, reasonable men can always get together, and if it's approached right, and men will see reason, difficulties can always be overcome. And I say that these things, slap happy involvement in business, does not glorify God. Now, I am not speaking now of the vast number, sadly, in our day, of unfortunate people who cannot obtain work, or those who, through no fault of their own, and there are many of these today, through no fault of their own, they have had business collapse around them due to the financial climate, the manipulations of governments and of financial houses. They've had business collapse around them. For such, one is extremely sorry and concerned. But we are dealing now within the context of this scripture and the normal procedure of business. And within the context of the scripture before us, we continue. And the lesson is prudence, diligence, thoroughness. Not being past the document, putting her name down, and then finding we're in trouble. No, no. Not running headlong into something. And oh dear, I shouldn't have done that. The lesson here is prudence and thoroughness, not slickness, not sharp practice, No, honest, straightforward business. Verse 26. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it. But today, Abimelech was unaware of any dispute. He didn't know there was trouble over the water rights. Oh, I'm sorry about this, he says. He'd approached Abraham with his chief captain to finalize the thing. I have no doubt that if Abimelech had known that there was a dispute, he would have looked into this before he ever approached Abraham. Still, it makes no difference. Here were two honorable men doing business. And Abimelech was unaware of this. And in other words, he says, I'm very sorry about this. And doubtless it was looked into. And the matter was satisfactorily resolved. For verse 27 states, And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto thee that I have digged this well. And so it was resolved. And they signed up, to put it in our language. They signed up. Now, this was done in various ways in Bible days. The name of God would be invoked, as is stated in verse 23. That would always be the case. Then some token would be passed over, or a gift made. Sometimes a stone would be set up, or a heap of stones made. Here it was a gift passed over, a gift of sheep and oxen. But the point to be made is that the terms were agreed and all was legally settled. That's the point to be made. The terms were agreed and it was legally settled. Abraham had his rights protected, and Abimelech had safeguarded both himself and his people. It was amicable. It was fair, honest business, conducted with prudence on both sides. And brethren and sisters, this, as all other sections of Holy Scripture, is for our learning. For our learning. We should take heed to this. We should indeed. Verse 31. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. The very area now received a name, Beersheba. It became a favorite district, not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac, as we shall later see, as presently we move into his life. A very favorite district, not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac, because the area had been safeguarded. There was a binding transaction. Verse 32, Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. Business now satisfactorily settled. They each go their way. Neither party had any misgivings. Both sides were equally at rest and happy with what had taken place. Neither one of them went away and thought they had a raw deal. What a tragedy. When a business deal is transacted and one party goes away, and in the secrecy of their own hearts, they have that thought, he caught me. I was had on that one. Woe unto that man or that woman if such be a Christian. But it does happen. Abimelech and Phicol, they return to their headquarters. And Abraham takes up residence with security. And both parties are happy. Verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. I quote John Calvin again. One does not, of course, give these quotes as being inspired, but one is thankful to God for the great gifts which he has raised up in the church down through history. And ever should we be grateful, I speak personally, ever am I grateful, for these great men that labored and burnt the midnight oil. Many of them exhausted their lives at an early age in plowing through the Word of God in absolute dependence upon His Holy Spirit. And God has in His good providence preserved their works in writing, and we have them today. John Calvin states that this is the first thing the patriarch ever planted. Before this, we never read that he even planted a shrub. Well, now, I haven't checked up this, but I have no doubt that John Calvin was absolutely right. He says this is the first thing the patriarch ever planted. We never read before that he even planted a shrub. Now he plants a grove. And this is the first mention of a grove in Scripture. I know this to be true. It is the first mention of a grove in Scripture. Now some commentators say that it refers to a tamarisk tree planted as a memorial. I said just now that when a covenant was made or a thing was legally settled, a gift could be made, there could be a memorial erected. Some commentators say that a tree was planted, a tamarisk tree, as a memorial. Now this was a tree with a very, very long life. Others suggest that he planted rows of tamarisk trees or other hardwood. Well, in later Old Testament history, such rows or avenues of trees were used as roofless temples or places of assembly. Temples, open spaces for sacrificing and for worship. This, I believe, to be the meaning here. Abraham planted these avenues or this avenue of trees with the specific purpose of marking out and enclosing an area for worship. Say, what makes you say that? Verse 33. He planted a grove, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. An area marked out specifically for worship. There he called upon the name of the Lord, where he planted the grove. Now, to call upon the name of the Lord is a term used for public or corporate worship of God. Going back to the Sethites, let your minds go back over the many months, and going back to the Sethites, you will remember in Genesis chapter 24, there they called upon the name of the Lord. The first reference to public worship. Later, groves were abused. They were used for idolatrous purposes. Then it was that God ordered their destruction. But here, at the first, when God in his providence provided Abraham with a more fertile area for his sojourning, with some degree of security and stability, the patriarch immediately establishes a spot in Beersheba for the worship of the everlasting God. I like that phrase. For the worship of the everlasting God. Oh, Abimelech had been good. Indeed, he had granted amazing favor to this great nomadic cattle grazer. And Abraham, grateful to him, as doubtless he was, yet he looks beyond earthly monarchs. And he gives thanks, and he calls upon the everlasting God, who is in control and who orders all things. Verse 34, and Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Now this means the borders of the Philistines. In verse 32, Abimelech and Phicol had already gone back into Philistia. Abraham's lot, as we have previously seen, was the fertile area adjoining the land. Now here we leave him this evening. The story is interesting. The lessons, very practical. May we heed them, that in whatsoever we do, we do all unto the glory of God. Amen. Hymn number 80. Call Jehovah thy salvation. Rest beneath the Almighty shade. In his secret habitation dwell and never be dismayed. Number 80.
Shout. shall call on him in trouble. He will hearken, he will save. Here for grief, reward thee double. Crown with life beyond the grave.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the teaching of thy holy word pertaining to the everyday of life, for that perfect ruling of conduct and of behavior in the daily round and in the common task. It is in these things in the main that men of the world see our good works. May this be verily manifest in the lives of each one of us. Then will they glorify your Father which is in heaven, says the Scripture. Our God forbid that any should ever be a stumbling block to men outside. May we be marked as those who are men and women of integrity, astute, prudent, but transparently honest and honorable. O our God, in closing, in thy holy presence, we would remind our hearts again of that inspired word of thine, written by the great apostle Paul. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So help us, our God, and may the God of peace be with us all, for Christ's sake. Amen.